during the month of February, our series has been called Moving Forward, and we have reached part three today, being part of God's what being part of God's family means. It's now who wrote that PowerPoint? Being part of God's family means it's not just about us. So the reach and the impact of service and the sermon has been terminated by the first PowerPoint slide. What clown put that together? His initials were David Bland. And he didn't give it to his dearly beloved to proofread. Not just about us. You're gonna think about that the whole sermon now. So, oh dear. Well, monkeys can fly to space, but they can't do PowerPoints apparently. So there you go. So what we've done in this month is go over and look at a couple of things. Firstly, our vision and why we exist. And obviously during this time, given this is a sermon, this is preaching, we've been outlining the biblical case for these things. But our vision and why we exist is to be a biblically functioning Christian community that wholeheartedly outworks Jesus' great commandment, that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love others as you would have them love you, and to also fulfil Jesus' great commission to go into all the world, teach people what he taught us, and to baptise them in his name. So we've looked at that. We then looked at our mission, why we exist. What we do to attract people to Jesus Christ, incorporate them into church membership, develop them into Christ-like maturity, and empower them to be a fully devoted followers of Jesus with a meaningful ministry in his church and a life mission in the world. So those two statements are actually in our constitution. That's what's set down, and that's what we're going for. Now then, we started last week to use the name, the words Christian Family Centre, to talk about what that name spoken over us means and does. You remember I talked about my discovery about what my name David meant and how that impacted me. It might have been the same for you as you've reflected on that. Then we thought, well, what does it say about our church? So we looked firstly last week at Christian, and we said that we have a passionate desire to attract people to Jesus and develop them as his disciples. We measured if that's happening in four ways. Firstly, we look for a commitment from someone to follow Jesus. So we respect and expect that a person saying yes to Jesus for the first time, when they do that, something happens. The Spirit of God has come to dwell in them. They are a child of God at that point in time, the Bible tells us. They are saved and redeemed, and their destiny has been altered. Their old life is gone, their new life has started, and they are heading towards an eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's our starting point. Yes, we do gather and we are blessed as we gather together every Sunday morning, but we expect and believe that our church is going to grow. Like, there's going to be more people here next week and the week after and so on and so forth. At the end of the year, next month, next year, we believe that Jesus is all about growing his family and bringing a person to that commitment. Then, secondly, they express that publicly by getting baptised in water. And it was a fantastic time last year. Josh, I'm seeing you there, mate. I'm thinking about that time in the Raxus swimming pool last March, when your brother was on one side, I was on the other, you got baptised. And churches live off those moments when people stand up and say yes to Jesus and cement it through getting baptised. What a great time that was. What a great time it was a few weeks ago when three people said yes to Jesus through baptism and acknowledged him and declared in the beach down at Seacliff that they were getting baptised. So we will not stop talking about those two things, because it's not good enough to just walk into church and say, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I did think about Jesus once. No. We're expecting that life ends in terms of us and living for ourselves and with our own dreams and deaths, and then saying, now I'm living for Jesus. I've made this commitment. I've been born again and things have changed. So that's what we're talking about there. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, the filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit that comes after conversion, when God overwhelms us, empowers us to use spiritual gifts, which are for the building up of the body, not to give us a reputation for flair, but instead to say, to bless each other, whether it's through prayer language, gifts of tongues and those type of things. That's the third thing that we're looking for. And then fourthly, a personal devotional life, which includes things such as Bible reading, prayer, church attendance and giving. So we then strengthen our faith muscles and we are involved in that life. So when we call ourselves the Christian Family Center, that's what we mean. That's what we mean. Christian, that's what it means. Secondly, today we're looking at family. So the second statement we're going to make is we are a purposeful fellowship that connects people together in Christian community. And this is where the statement, it's not just about us, really starts to come into the fore. So this is where, when we're organising our week, if you like, or our month, or our year, or our life, we're not just thinking about how it suits us. We're not just saying, well, look, I've done those things on page one, Pastor, a tick, 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 tick. But we actually say, how do we engage with other people in our Christian community? Like, what does that look like? This is why connect groups are such an important thing. This is why we make a decision to not just say, well, I've got Sunday tucked away, but the rest of the week, well, I just sort of do whatever I think, whatever I feel, whatever I want. But we actually say, no, when do I engage with other people? So we measure that in two ways. Now, this is going to take a little bit of explanation. I'm going to keep it brief, but I've put church partnership up there. You would have noticed if you paid attention that the word membership was in the Constitution and in our mission statement. For those of you who know anything about incorporated bodies, you'll know that members go along with them. They get various different rights and responsibilities. But at the moment, the Constitution of the Christian Family Centres is being rewritten, and membership is going to be replaced, if you like, with a word partnership. And that's where we say, as a community, where you identify and say, the Hills Christian Family Centre is my local church community, and I am committing to and identifying with that local church as the one where Jesus has placed me and then is raising me up into fellowship and into ministry. So we're not a people, we're not church hoppers, we're not church shoppers. We don't just chop and change wherever we see fit and just go here or there, or when it gets too hard, disappear somewhere else. But we say, God's led me here. I've been placed into this community and I now identify with it and I'm ready to make a contribution to it. And this blesses us in many different ways and the community. I guess you could say in some ways, it gives us a sense, certainly as leaders, that those folks who do that can be counted upon. We're not going to plan a service for this Sunday and no one's going to be here. We're not going to press out in ministry and have no one respond. We're not going to pray for and expand in mission and no one's interested. Because we look out and we see people who have said, this is my community, I'm committed to its vision and its mission, and I'm ready to identify with its goals. And I want to tell you that when you make such a commitment, when you express and engage in such a partnership, you are blessed and you bless other people. You make a commitment to others and to this church community, and you actually make a statement. Now, you may be thinking, it doesn't sound like much of a big deal to me. You know, I just, like, it seems like a good thing to do. I just show up. I'm just here. But, friends, imagine if we went through an existence where we just disappeared, came in here and there and everywhere, and there was no sense of fellowship and engagement with each other. We could not do a thing. It would be chaos. So an expression to church membership and to church partnership is important. And these are one of the things that we do that. Now, you might be asking, well, how are we going to count that? I've never heard of a role or anything like that. Those answers that have come, they haven't been worked out in some senses, but hey, we still talk about it and we still express it, and that's what we're going to get into. So that's church partnership. Secondly, connect group involvement. Now, we've talked already today, you've seen our connect group leaders out the front as we've prayed for them, and we really want to emphasise and prepare for this part of church life. I mentioned earlier that connect group ministry was the first thing that I was ever asked to do when we joined the Seton Church. Judy and I, when we got there, because we'd been around the block for a little while, we knew in a church that size that we had to join what we called then a small group. And so to us it was just straightforward. Otherwise we knew we wouldn't flourish in that place. So we did that. Within a year, I think the leader went to Sydney and we're standing there in the headlights and will you lead it? And we were part of that group for all the time. We were at the Christian Family Centre at Seton, and I think by the end we were the last remaining original members. But it was just a great time and we had a wonderful time leading that. We had some interesting encounters in Connect Group life. I remember where often we would get to Friday night. We had it every fortnight, Friday night. It was a family group, so everyone was there, kids, men and women. The kids were looked after in other rooms. And it was amazing with the full-time job at the time how often I'd get to Friday night and I would be exhausted. When I was working in radio, we used to get off air at 6 p.m. on Friday night. After 3 hours on air, Connect Group had started our place off in an hour and a half, and I'd just be sitting there thinking, I don't know what I've got to give this group tonight. I can tell you I fought through that because I'd made a commitment to that group and that fellowship, and I'm telling you the truth, I never got to the end of a Connect Group meeting and felt, oh, why did I do that? In fact, the amount of times that I got to the end, we'd still be wrapping up at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and I just, the Holy Spirit had energised me and everyone in a way where that fellowship had grown me and taken me to a different place. It never failed to happen. It was amazing. So I know some of you are thinking, wow, I've got a busy program. I'm not sure about that. I'm a bit tired at that time, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I understand that. I really do. But I've also been blessed so many times as it comes through. Sometimes we'd have Connect Group meetings and the phone calls would start about 7 p.m. or 6:30. You know, tea had finished. Can't come. No, I'm not going to make it tonight. And I'm adding up on my hands saying, Jude, how many are left? I think there's no one coming. Oh, there might be two people coming tonight or one person. One night there were four of us, Judy and I and two other people. One of them had not yet made a commitment to Christ. The temptation was to think, oh, well, this is a disaster. But in fact, God had organised for that person to be there with three other believers, and we spent the whole night answering that person's questions. It was great. It was organised. So never be frustrated, leaders and hosts, about how many people are there, because God's always organising. I've been invited to a Connect Group to lead Ben's Connect Group through a study, which I've been at the last 2 weeks, guys only, and it's been fantastic and a great time, so I've been really enjoying that. So, folks, when we say family, that's what we're talking about. A commitment to this fellowship, and then Connect Group involvement. That's what we're going to measure as leaders, to say, are we living up to our name? Is that happening? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, hang on, I thought it meant family. I thought you are the Christian Family Centre for people in families, people with families, mum, dad and kids. We thought that's what it was all about. Well, we are a church for families. We love our families and our kids. But we actually want to say that the family that we are ultimately talking about is even above and beyond those families. We all know, I think, that families often, even if they start well, sometimes through the years of life, they come under attack. Whether it's through sometimes divorce, even death at times, but often the families that we identify with and are attached to can be filled with painful experiences. And we don't want anyone to have the impression that we're a church for people in a nice little nuclear family who've got it all together, and you're going to stand out if you're not in one of those. That ain't the truth. That's not how it is. And even Jesus himself experienced pain in his family. And I would like to talk to you a little bit about that today and see what we can draw out of his experiences, what it speaks to us about family and how we can identify with that. Mark's Gospel we've been reading in the month of February, and we've just finished this week before we've headed off into 1 and 2 Timothy. And we read in the third chapter of this amazing experience that we often gloss over and just read through. But really, when you slow down and put the brakes on, it is quite fascinating. We read here, you remember a few weeks ago I talked about this amazing start to Jesus' ministry where people were overwhelmed with what he was teaching and what he was doing. And it reached its peak, you could say, when Jesus and his disciples entered a house and again a crowd gathered, which happened all the time at this point in his ministry. And they were so overwhelmed by the response of people who were seeking him out that he and his followers were not able to even eat. Like, they were busy, they were overwhelmed, ministry was on the edge, people were responding, people were getting saved, people were getting healed. It was fantastic. But the demand on Jesus and his disciples' time was overwhelming. They couldn't even get themselves a meal organised. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. So I don't know about whether you've ever had an experience, maybe when you told your family that, hey, I've become a Christian, I'm going to this church, I'm going to get baptised. Did they respond with, you're out of your mind? Well, that's okay. It happened to Jesus. Jesus is just doing what he's been called to do. His ministry is underway. But at this point in time, his family thinks he's nuts. And his family just wants him to have a decent meal. His family just wants him to live a normal life. His family just thinks, mate, this ministry, preaching, healing stuff, he's lost it. He's out of control. Mum's thinking he's not eating properly. We need to go and get him. And they'd gone to find him, and they were going to take hold of him and take him back home and give him a decent meal and just have him settled out a bit. None of this preaching, healing stuff. Just live a normal, quiet life. Well, friends, I need to let you in on a little secret. As you seek to serve Jesus, as you start to prioritise his ministry and mission in your life, you are going to get that response sometimes from your family and friends. All right? You're following in Jesus' footsteps. They're going to look at you making decisions and making priorities, and they're going to be thinking, you're nuts. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Why prioritise these things? Settle down, live a normal life, eat on time, just be normal and don't be following Jesus. Jesus, however, by God's grace, wasn't having a bar of this plan for him. We've already talked earlier, a couple of weeks ago, how Jesus told his disciples, we're not playing the popularity fame game. I'm moving around. I'm not staying here just because I'm getting a good following. So later in the chapter, this is resolved. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. They've found him. They've got to the scene of the attention. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, And they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. They think you're nuts. You're out of your mind. You've gone crazy. This has gone to your head. You're not eating properly. They're there to take him home. Jesus, however, responds with the immortal, in my view, rhetorical question. And he says to those who brought in the message, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. Now, for those of us who are familiar with this response and this verse, we probably think, well, it sounds like a very spiritual thing to say. But when you think about it, it's a pretty bold response for a son to say to his mother and his brothers effectively, you're not my mother and brothers, because right now you are not for the will of God in my life. But instead, these people who are sitting in the place of discipleship at my feet and who are saying yes to the will of God in their lives, they are my family. Now, folks, when we hear that, we think, oh, man, that's heavy. Like, couldn't we just part? What are you preaching on this for? What? Really? Jesus set the parameters for who are the family of God when he made this statement. And even he prioritized it above his, if you like, blood family relations. Now, some of us are hearing this quite hard at the moment. We're thinking, Pastor, you're out of your mind. What? Like, hang on, I thought we were supposed to be nice to our family. I thought we were supposed to, you know, prioritize our family and so on. We are, but friends, we organize our families around the mission and the ministry of God. Now, some of you, when I say that, you're just thinking, not me. You're wrong. You're out of your mind. But friends, that's what Jesus said. So that's the place that we stand in. And Jesus went through a long period of time where his mothers and his brother, it's interesting his father's not mentioned. So we don't really know what happened to Joseph. The theory is maybe he died, but he's sort of off the scene by this stage. And they went through a long time where his family thought he was nuts. They just did not identify with what he was doing until closer to his crucifixion, his mother at least was there. And you remember Jesus on the cross commissions his apostle John to look after his mother and also commits her to his care. So it seemed like some transition happened in that time where there is at least a manner of reconciliation. Of course, eventually his brother James led the Jerusalem church. So he went from you're nuts to leading the church in the centre of God's people's population at that time. So I encourage you folks that, yes, we're all for families. We understand family as the key building block of society. We are for its nurturing. We are for its flourishing in every sense and every way. But the idea that we're just gathered here to get happy little families going off in their own little lives, in their own little worlds, in their own little destinies, with no reference point to the will and the mission and the ministry of God, that's not what we're about when we say Christian family centre. We believe in the family of God sitting above, if you like, and overarching the family, the nuclear family. And instead, our mission and ministry in our lives is to raise up our kids as followers and doers of the will of God. I disciple my wife in that manner. She disciples me in that manner. And we disciple our kids to follow after Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage you as we move towards wrapping up that sometimes we treat our families as though they're number one. They get the priority. If a family organises something that's on Sunday morning, we just blow church off and that just gets the yes every time. And I want to suggest, church, that we need a different approach to that. I've been through all of that. I was the first person to say yes to Jesus in my family until my mum said yes, the only one. The idea that church on Sunday was a priority was foreign to them. Many of you are in that situation. And I had to say, look, I've got a commitment every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I've got an appointment with you, my church family. So I can't get there until after lunch. That's just it. And we still say that today. By God's grace, my family over time have come to accept that and they never seek to interrupt, if you like, that commitment. Now, I know that doesn't work that way for all of you and I know that there's a struggle there, but there's a point in time where we need to say, look, if you're not in the place I'm in at the moment, mother and brother, sister, well, that's okay. I'll be there, but this is what God's called me to do. This is God's priority for my life. My church family is a priority for me. Being with them is important. I see God move in that community. So we need to stand up and say that. Now, folks, if you're listening to me and you're thinking, pastor's had too much pastor juice, he's just maybe he's flipped out. Look, I understand at times that we must be with our family and at times we can't be here. I do get that. A few years ago, my brother got married at the Serafino Winery on a Saturday and had organised for the whole family to stay overnight on the Saturday. I was working as a pastor at Seton and, it's a requirement that we're at church on Sunday morning and I'm thinking, well, that's all right, we'll go home on Saturday night. But my team, thankfully, said to me, you actually need to be there and you need to stay with your family overnight and have the morning off. And I'm glad they did. We had breakfast together and it was great. So look, I'm not totally nuts. I get that. But I am giving pushback today on, at times, our failure to show a proper commitment to what's going on here. I am saying that and I'm using Jesus as my cue. So Jesus then pushes on and he has various other different encounters on the issue of family, which reveal an interesting thing. Jesus went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue and many who heard him were amazed. So far, so good. He's in his hometown. It's going okay. But then things start to take a bit of a different turn. They say to each other, where did this man get these things? What's the wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's been performing? They've nailed it 3 out of 3. His teaching, his wisdom, his miracles, they've seen the lot. But then they say, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offence at him. So the issue of familiarity, where who do you think you are? You just live down the road. You're just a car. We know your story. We know who you are. And sometimes when we stand in our family space and we say, I'm following Jesus, sometimes we can get the same response. Who do you think you are? We know you. We know all your secrets. We know where you come from. You're just one of us. Who do you think you are? And so it says that in response to that, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honour except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Oh, well, at least a few healings happen. Mate, Jesus is still doing it okay. He was amazed by their lack of faith. So, friends, when it comes to family and familiarity, we need to push through that sense of, oh, you know, it's at times we're going to receive a cooler reception in our family, but not always. But we need to be prepared for that and aware of it. I wanted to read this little bit as well for a couple of reasons. But this is an incident when Jesus tells a young rich man, the young man's ticking things off. I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And Jesus picks up an issue in his heart and says, you have to actually give away everything you've got. Because at the moment, that's between you and God. It's standing there as an obstacle. The young man just can't handle it and walks away and is just sad. And Jesus tells his disciples how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? The prevailing thinking at the time, which creeps into our society and our church sometimes, the church, is that if you've got lots of money, clearly God is with you. Clearly you're going to be saved. Clearly you're blessed. And so he was changing their mindset, because they just thought at that time there was the poor, there was the rich, God was with the rich and the poor could just do whatever they could to help. And that was it. But Jesus then, responds with these immortal words. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And I want to leave those last six words up there for a moment. If you can only remember six words out of the scripture, if that's your limit, try, all things are possible with God. Just try those ones. You reckon you can hang on to those? Mark 10, verse 27, all things are possible with God. Peter then, not one to sink back and not left anything unsaid, likes to make a contribution, says, we've left everything to follow you. He's pretty pleased with himself. He sees the sacrifice that he and his disciples have made, left their jobs, left their homes, left their families to say yes to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure what response Peter was expecting, but Jesus outdoes him. Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields. Now, I'm going to read the rest of that in a moment. But what does Jesus mean when he says that? 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields. This is my thought in relation to that scripture. As Judy and I have had to make various decisions in our Christian walk which have affected our relationships with our family at different stages. Jude's mum lives on her own in the suburb of Grange. My dad lives on his own in the suburb of Fulham Gardens. And recently, in order to facilitate our ministry here in this place, we have moved further away from them. We're obviously still in contact, in relationship, we see them. But in some senses, that's become a bit harder. And there's now a physical distance that's greater between us and between them. But I've often reflected, and I picked this up soon after I became a Christian at the Flinders Park Church of Christ, that it seemed like I went from having one mother to having nearly 100 of them. That every time we make some sort of sacrifice in this area, we actually inherit relationships that bless us beyond description as we take part and participate in the family of God. Now, in relation to 100 homes, well, I haven't actually got one in terms of ownership, But I reckon I could probably find 100 people who would let me live in their home for at least a period of time if I arrived on their doorstep and asked. I actually reckon in some sense I do have access to hundreds of homes because of my relationship and my partnership and my fellowship in the family of God. So friends, while we may experience at times loss in our family relationships because we've said yes to Jesus, why they might think that we're crazy for coming along to the Hills Christian Family Centre, in another sense, we step into a world where we participate in a family that stretches around the globe. And every time I travel overseas and I connect with other people, and I just think we are related by the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ did for us and said to us. He also makes the point, just before Peter gets too excited, that persecutions come as well, and that even those who will be first will be last and the last will be first. Folks, when it comes to family, yes, in some senses we are involved in a test. At some senses, sometimes we want to retreat into those familial relationships that we were born with. But God is calling each of us to experience family beyond those relationships. You now are part of a family that goes back centuries and that extends around the world. And your commitment to that family exists here in this place. So when we say Christian Family Centre, we absolutely do mean that we are encouraging families, but we are also making a statement that the act of the family of God is pivotal for your well-being and your contribution to the lives of others around you. They need you to make it, you need you to make it, and God wants to work in and through it. Let's close our eyes and let's pray as we wind up today. Father, we thank you for the fact that you yourself have placed us in a family. That family, Lord, was your idea. We are all born into a small group when we take our first breath. We all exist, Lord, in those relationships. But Father, we see today that there are times when those family relationships cause us pain. At times, Lord, they even work against our dedication and our commitment to you. Father, at times we're tempted to idolise our families, to prioritise them above all other things, even the family of God and our service and our surrender to you. But Lord, you forgive us. You understand the temptation. You yourself faced it. And Lord, you prioritise the doing of the will of God above those relationships. Lord, we thank you that ultimately Mary and James made a full-on commitment to you and to your ministry and mission in the world. And Father, we pray that through us, our families would experience what it means to be blessed by you, to be saved by you, and to surrender to you. Father, in relation to the family here at the Hills Christian Family Centre, Lord, may we experience joy and peace and wonder as we renew each week our relationships, as we experience close relationships in our connect group. May, Lord, this place be filled with relationships that run deep over the years, that bind us together, Lord, so we can experience what it means to be in true relationship, not only with you, but with each other. Lord, I pray for intimacy for our groups, for our relationships, and for our fellowship. Lord, in and through these things we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Just as we finish our service today, folks, I think it'd be great to get to our feet and to just worship Jesus with this song. And I want you to think about your family relationships, not only in relation to the people that you're related to, but in respect to this family here at the Hills Christian Family Centre. Maybe in 2017, you need to make a bigger commitment to those relationships. Maybe you need to get into a connect group. Maybe you need to do something that in some way prioritises this family here at the Hills. I invite you to do that now as we sing and as we worship, as Sam and the team leads us. Thank you, guys.